welcome to the summer series with me, Nicole Sachs, on the Cure for Chronic Pain Network. You are here. Hello, my friends. How are you guys today? This is Nicole, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain. We are in the midst of our summer series, and as has become the usual, I am doing a lot of traveling. So on the more hectic weeks like this week, I am going to do a bit of a shorter knowledge drop kind of podcast where we're going to talk about a specific topic, just you and me. And, I don't want to see these podcasts as less impactful and less important than the longer ones where we include people's speak pipes, because this kind of stuff that we're talking about is the stuff, especially what we're talking about today, some really core understanding about the work and how it can transform your life. I'm only saying that because I know that you guys have been so incredible on contacting me on SpeakPipe and recording your messages for me and your questions and your stories. And I just want to remind you, I am listening to every single one of them. And as often as possible, when I have time to really produce a podcast, you will be included and acknowledged. And just know that every single thing that you record for me is so important, because I am constantly a lifelong learner, seeking to change and grow and evolve this podcast into the best contribution it can be to you. And you guys are helping me so much. So remember, keep them coming. Contact me at speakpipe.com/Nicole Sachs. It is also linked in all my social media, in my Instagram bio at Nicole Sachs LCSW, and on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. So please keep them coming. But, you know, one of the things that happens when you contact me on SpeakPipe is I'm not just listening to include certain clips. I'm listening for themes. I'm listening for concerns and questions and needs. And one of them that has been coming up a great deal lately is about understanding why the nervous system and the brain seek to move us from what I call the darkest and most unacceptable and most impossibly conflictual feelings to ones that seem on the surface, or at least we've societally accepted, are more digestible. So I'll give you just a really quick example. If the core emotions that are existing in our unconscious that are so dangerous to the brain and the nervous system that they are equated with the death of us are things like despair, terror, shame, and rage, let's say, there are two things that can happen when we are in that space. And like I said, often unconsciously, what you are experiencing in your life that you want to change is not because of the feelings that you feel, it's because the feelings that you don't feel. So let's say there you have a lot of unprocessed rage or shame or terror or despair. There are two things that can happen. The first is that you can experience a physical symptom, because the intensity and the impossibility of feeling those feelings in an acceptable way to your brain and your nervous system can lead your body to hold that space, like we talked about last week regarding the symptom imperative. The body keeps the score. There's another thing that can happen, though. You can lighten those emotions with words that feel more acceptable. Words like frustration, annoyance, irritation. Words that hold with them, as far as we're concerned, more societal acceptance. You know, if you tell someone you are experiencing intense rage, that might feel unsafe. It might feel unsafe to your brain and your nervous system to tap into the intensity and enormity of that. And it also might feel unsafe to share that with another person. But to go on all day how like, oh, it's so annoying. I'm so frustrated with that person. Or this is so irritating. Or like, instead of experiencing maybe the depths of your despair, because despair feels so paired with endless sadness, impossible, something that's impossible to fix, something that feels like it could plunge you into depression and make you feel unsafe. You know, because so many of us are actually feeling despair, but since that doesn't feel acceptable to the brain, nervous system, and to society, you might say, yeah, you know, it's just like, it's such a fucking bummer. You know, it's just, I'm bummed out, you know. And I'm not saying that bummed out and irritated and annoyed and frustrated are not ways to be. And I'm not saying that it is not helpful for you to express that. But I want to take our little time today that we're spending together to get underneath those words. And in doing that, underneath the way that we carry our physical symptoms. So in order to have this conversation, I want to begin by doing just some brief foundational TMS informational work. So I'm going to remind you that TMS is a term that Dr. John Sarno, who is my mentor, coined, that stands for tension myositis syndrome. It also began, as it evolved, it was evolved into tension myoneural syndrome. It is not important as a person trying to heal their chronic pain for you to get underneath this term and understand it medically, because I think it causes more confusion than it's worth. All you really need to know is that TMS is an umbrella term for any chronic issue that is not going away, that is torturing your life, that is sticking around in order to divert you, distract you, and, quote, protect you from these deeper, less acceptable, and less safe, according to your nervous system, feelings of, let's just use for our purposes today, despair, terror, shame, and rage. And so TMS, if I, you know, people in my community are often like, oh my God, you know, I'm having, my TMS is moving all over the place. So when they say that, they're referring to the symptom imperative. They're saying their back hurts, and like when they do their journal speak and they seem to get to a few revelations, the back pain might go away, but then they get like a shoulder thing, or they have a hip thing, but it moves to the other hip, or they have headaches. And, you know, that's called my TMS is moving around. TMS, people use that as a placeholder for whatever's bothering them at the time, because what they're starting to understand by doing this work and by studying Sarno potentially before you found me is that we don't need to obsess specifically on the places in our body that this mind-body process is enacting itself. You know, it doesn't have, you know, you don't have to obsess on your headaches and just make it about the headaches. The reason people know that is usually if you've done this work long enough, you see that it moves around and you understand that where it is expressing itself in the body is really less important in the fact that the genesis of it is in this mind-body work. It's in this repressed rage, shame, despair, terror, etc. So that's what TMS is. And if you really want a further description of TMS, go back in the podcast. I have an episode early on about TMS and the my original relationship with Dr. Sarno, because he began as my doctor and then we worked together. So there's an episode early on in the podcast about that. And I think I touch base on it again. So, you know, scroll through the podcast there. Whenever you see TMS, it's fully explained in a much longer format. But I wanted to mention it here. So in the world of TMS, there's a reason why our brain and our nervous system channels our inability to safely feel big things represented by the words despair, terror, shame, and rage into physical issues that are, in the estimation of the brain and the nervous system, more manageable, more controllable, and a safer space to dwell. And the reason is because when we perceive ourselves to be in an impossible situation, the brain and the nervous system feel the necessity to save us from that impossible situation. So in the dawn of early WOMAN, when an impossible situation presented itself, like we were being stalked by a predator and we were within, let's say, tall grasses or a wood of some sort where we could become less noticeable, the brain and the nervous system goes into something called freeze, where our respiration slows down, our circulation slows down, our digestion slows down, and we are more able to be so still that perhaps we won't be discovered and killed. So that's the way the nervous system works. And the same thing happens when we need to fight and we have superhuman strength. One of the examples of that could be, like I often say, how a parent could lift a car off their baby. You know, this is not something that any of us can go choose to decide to do. But in the moment when there is a fight to happen, when you're fighting to save someone's life, the adrenaline and the cortisol flood your system. Respiration goes up, circulation goes up, digestion is repressed. So you don't have to worry about going to the bathroom or needing to eat. And in that moment, in a brief moment, you have superhuman strength. That's another way we get saved. And the same thing happens when we need to flee. We get, you know, you don't get as tired. You can run and run. You know, this is the truth about human functioning. Nobody on the planet could argue with this. Not the best doctor, not the most studied scientist. Here's the time that it gets confusing. Unless and until we acknowledge that the concept of human despair, human terror, human shame, and human rage are perceived as just as dangerous to the brain and the nervous system as those situations I just discussed, it is hard to understand why we are a society in chronic pain, because people have such trouble building the bridge between emotional danger and physical danger, but they are the same. And so, when we are in those spaces of those four deadly feelings that the nervous system deems as too dangerous to feel, the same protective enactment begins, which is, how can we not allow these feelings to rise to the conscious mind and inform us that we are as despairing and terrorized and shameful and rageful as we actually are? And by the way, we all are. This is not for a person with anger issues. Like, we're human beings who are trying to live a human life, and it is really difficult. And these big feelings exist in all of us, but when they threaten to rise, which is an organic process, the brain and the nervous system go into sustained fight or flight, and those feelings are repressed, and what is holding in their place is like, I reach down, ow, my back. I eat something and oh my goodness, you know, now my IBS is flaring. This is real stuff, you know, and it gets attached to physical stimuli. Many things, pelvic pain, migraines, fibromyalgia are attached to, these days, what we eat. So I find people on elimination diets or, you know, in different fashions of what they can eat and when. But unfortunately, after months of doing this, when they find they're only getting worse, they end up, or worse and better, they end up understanding, you know, with the help of this work, that actually what's really happening is the danger is coming from this more repressed emotional state. So the reason I'm going through this right now and explaining this around the TMS is because another way that this is being enacted in terms of like a more acceptable, more safe way to move through life. So let's say let's say you don't have chronic headaches or back pain or stomach stuff or skin stuff or pelvic stuff. You know, let's say you're chronically irritated. Life feels like it's always just such a problem, and you know, or you're chronically fatigued. You know, you're just low energy, or you're chronically worried. You know, did I do something wrong? Am I in trouble? Is everyone mad at me? You know, these things are also another way that TMS can manifest. It's another way that the brain and the nervous system can offload a little of the responsibility that feels impossible to feel when the feelings are that big. So I guess what I want to talk about today, in addition to sort of that foundational concept, is the fact that when we don't pause and get underneath words like frustration, annoyance, bummed out, irritated, we take the risk of living in a less joyful and expansive way. And you know, my whole theme this summer is to start really examining where we need help, so when we finally do make space for something new and different and beautiful in our lives, we've actually become clear that we want it, like that we want to fill the space that used to be contained with doctors and worrying about pain and seeking treatments. We want to fill that space with what? With what's next? With what can bring us joy? With what can bring us connection with those we love? Like, that's the goal. The goal is to live your best life in the most meaningful way, in the least cliche way, your actual best life, what it feels like to get up every morning and feel alive and feel desiring of that day instead of let's get through it, right? I mean, God knows I have been there feeling like I would rather just get through this day than desire to be a part of it. And that is no way to live. So when we can pause and look at those sort of emotions light, we can then have the opportunity to be curious about what's going on underneath. So let's play with this a little. So every one of us has had a day that said, I'm frustrated. Frustrated. Okay, so the closest emotion I can connect with frustration is anger. I'm angry. But that's even more dangerous to say. Doesn't it feel, like think about it for a second, doesn't it feel safer to tell someone, oh, I'm just frustrated right now? It feels less vulnerable. It feels less shameful. It feels less exposing. It feels less like you're putting it on the other person to be like, you're really angry right now? It feels like you're going to be less judged by other people. So people say, I'm just so frustrated. I don't know. My kids are frustrating me, or my job is frustrating me, or, you know, I've just so many things to get done and nothing seems to be going my way. I'm frustrated. Okay. So let's just be bold enough to allow us to say, I'm angry. Because we just have to be brave enough to continue to peel back the layers and get underneath. Because if the goal at the end of the day is to feel better about our problems, and the goal at the end of the day is to connect with the people with whom we work and love and associate, then we need to be pausing and get curious about things like frustration. So let's just say you're frustrated and you're moving through the day, and you're able to pause, and even if it's with no one else at this moment, whether it be in your thoughts or driving your car or in the shower or in your journal speak practice, and say, I'm more than frustrated. I'm angry right now. I'm angry at so-and-so for dropping the ball and leaving me with this situation, or I'm angry with the incompetence of, you know, this airline or this customer service, or I'm angry with my child for truly being unappreciative. I'm angry right now. Wonderful. Wonderful. Let's name it. Remember what we're always doing with this work. Allow, name, release. We allow the feeling, which is the pause. Pausing is so big in allowing. You know, just give yourself a freaking moment to know what you feel. Now we're going to name it. I'm not just frustrated. I'm angry. And if it's safe to talk to another person at this moment, great. If it's not, just as great. But I want to take it further. I want to take it to rage, and then I want to take it further. So if indeed there is rage, rage usually isn't about the situation at hand. So in our little example, let's say we're walking around admitting that we're frustrated, but we pause and we take a minute and we allow, and now we can name that we're angry. And now I'm going to just use customer service because it's such a low lift to think that customer service might be frustrating you. So it's, you're trying to deal with some customer service issue, whether it be your cable or an airline ticket you're trying to get refunded that is owed to you, or, you know, technical support for your blah, blah, blah. Okay, so the customer service is shit and you're frustrated. And then like you sit down with yourself and you go, no, I actually feel angry. Okay, good for you. Good for you for taking that time to name that. But now let's say you're sitting with it and allowing and allowing, allowing, being so brave, holding the hand of your nervous system and saying, it's okay, sweetheart. We can feel this. We're not going to die. Okay? Now you go to rage. If you're able to connect with rage in that moment, I feel embarrassed about this, but I'm actually rageful that I cannot get this problem solved. If you can get to rage, here is where you have an opportunity to connect it with the things that are probably closer to the core of why you become a frustrated human being day in and day out. Because rage is such a base emotion that it connects to when you have been wronged, and it usually goes all the way back to when you were a sweet little thing. Because when we are children and we are ignored or dismissed or disrespected or shamed or abused or neglected, we are so powerless that what banks in us is rage at having not been treated properly. And as we get older, we get angry at situations. And then as we stay angry, that feels too dangerous and too vulnerable. So we're just frustrated. But if we really want to solve problems, if we really want to make changes in our lives, we have to be honest, if only with ourselves. And when you get down to that space of rage, then we have to look at where it began. And this is where your journal speak practice is so important, because you can sit with it and you can say, who did this? You can write letters you'll never send. Dear mom, dear dad, dear teacher, dear coach, dear uncle so-and-so, how fucking dare you? You know, these are helpful, guys. You are giving that inner child a voice. And by the way, if any of this is lighting you up and you can possibly come to the Omega Institute August 7th through the 12th, we sit together and do this work together like a boss. Like a boss. You will not leave the same person you walk through the doors of that retreat center. It's in Rhinebeck, New York. You can click the link in my Instagram bio or on my website and come join us. So anyway, but when you connect with that rage and you can write those letters you'll never send, and when you can do your journal speak practice and everything I teach here on the podcast and in my work, you can start to really connect and start to really heal. And the final surface that I would want to scratch in this example is when you really get underneath rage, there's usually something much sweeter and softer and sadder and gentler under there. And it's usually fear or sadness, terror or grief. Living underneath that space of rage, just a little kid that doesn't want to be angry, that just wants to say, like lift her hands into the air and say, but won't you just love me? And that's what's at the core of all of this. You know, I know it's a cliche and I know it sounds cheesy that it's all about love, but guys, it's all we want. We just want to be seen and loved and accepted for who we are. And so rarely do we get that. And so often we are bereft in the absence of it. But all this to say that we need to continually examine our lives, because being in chronic pain is just a placeholder. Being in chronic frustration, annoyance, embarrassment, concern, it's a placeholder for something so much deeper. And when you are willing and able to pause and to allow and then to name the things that come up, and don't be scared. You can name them. Nobody is looking, especially when you do this in your journal speak practice. Nobody's looking but you. Name them. Sit with them. Sit with those small spaces. Allow it to be rage. Allow it to scream and kick. You are not getting out of this without feeling this stuff, because the brain and the nervous system, guys, are super, super crafty. I want to remind you that for eons, they have kept us alive with their hair trigger reflexes. So we're not just going to lightly convince them to stop protecting us with our chronic symptoms and our chronic frustration without doing this deeper work to really get underneath what we need to get underneath. And I don't want it to scare you. Because, you know, I had someone write on my Instagram, every day I post new stuff to Instagram. And I posted a slide today about inner child work. And someone wrote in the comments and said, this is true, meaning what I was writing about is true, which is inner child stuff and getting underneath stuff. But, comma, it will never, ever affect physical pain. You know, and this is a person who is wherever she is in her journey. And I wrote her back and I said, oh, love, I think you're incredibly mistaken. Please give yourself the chance. You know, please be curious. Because when I watch people do this hard work and when I watch them transform and their physical pain falls away, it's just more and more fuel in my tank to keep going and to continue to tell you, yes, it's hard work. but it's not impossible. And it does affect your pain, and I promise. How often does somebody say they promise to you? It's like pretty rare. People are like, yes, no, it's I assure you, probably, mostly, you know, whatever people say. I am telling you straight up, listen to my words, I promise that it is possible for you to be completely free of chronic pain symptoms and all the attending other chronic symptoms, stomach stuff, head stuff. It is possible. I can't say it's definite for you because I can't sit with each person out there and do the work, but I know, I promise you, it has changed and created my life completely, completely, and thousands of other people with whom I have connected and worked with. So just give yourself the chance, should you be one of these people in that space of doubt, because it's so powerful. This work is so powerful. Okay, so, you know, this, all these little knowledge drops, they're just food for thought, but hopefully like really good food, really nutritious and whole food for you to sit with and give yourself the space to pause and be curious. Replace your fear and your skepticism with curiosity. And if you need more information, there's hundreds of episodes of this podcast on, with so many different topics. Please scroll back. They're all available on iTunes and Spotify and Audio Boom and Google Play and Stitcher, you know, it's everywhere. Listen, it's all free. Listen, educate yourself. If you want to study with me, the only thing I have on the books right now for my full retreat is the Omega Institute, August 7th through the 12th. It's coming up in a few weeks. It's going to be killer. Sign up at my website, thecureforchronicpain.com or eomega.org and search my name, Nicole Sachs. You'll find me. I'm bringing a whole cast of characters, my amazing instructors. We're going to be doing some life-changing work. You will love it. I can't wait to love it. I love it every summer. And also, if you are looking to learn more about the inner child stuff, I do have an inner child retreat recording on my website for purchase. These things are not expensive. Give yourself the gift of doing this work. It is really, really life-changing. Okay. All right. Until next week, I have always enjoyed this, my time with you, and I am loving the summer of learning you. Go to speakpipe.com. That is speakpipe.com/Nicole Sachs and ask me questions. Tell me where you are. Tell me what you want to hear more about. Tell me what topics you want me to do in Knowledge Drops. I'll do them. I'll do whatever you say. All right, guys, much love. If you're enjoying the podcast, I forgot to say this. I always forget to say this. Go over to iTunes and rate and review it. It really, really helps me. If you want to say thank you to me, please say thank you in reviewing and rating the podcast and telling me how it's helping you. It really means the world to me. All right, my loves, always a pleasure. I will see you next week. Until then, this has been Nicole Sachs with the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.